It is Carmen Smith here from How to Make Your Marriage Hot and Happy. I am your host, and I'm so excited to bring you my guest today. Her name is Maggie Reyes, and I'm going to go into a little bit about Maggie and why you are going to want to listen to her and the impact that she is going to have on you to discover the myths and truths of marriage and how to rewrite that fairy tale. But before I do that, just for all of y'all who are joining for the very first time, I just want to share with you a little bit about what the How to Make Your Marriage Hot and Happy Summit really is all about. I created this summit to support you and to show you that you can have a crazy hot and ridiculously happy marriage, even in this day and age. You know, this summit, we're going to address all of life's issues, marriage issues, circumstances, and scenarios that come up in real life that really affect your marriage so that you know how to combat them, overcome them, and turn it all around. I really want you to live the rest of your life in a truly hot and happy marriage. For me, a bad marriage is just, it's a waste of a good life. And I mean, this is so close to my heart, partially because my own marriage is top priority in my life. And I've got two kids, and I understand what all that means. But I also believe that the state of your marriage holds your personal happiness, your family's happiness, your health, and even your bank account in its hands. So if that is true, why wouldn't we learn from the best experts that are on the planet right now and do everything that we can then to better our marriages? Now, I really do hold high intentions for this call, and my intention is that you will hear things that will impact your life and your marriage in a way that can rock your world tonight, my friends. And I strongly encourage you to be on all the calls because there are golden nuggets out for grab with each and every expert. So watch your inbox because you are going to receive an email each day at 6:30 a.m. and at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with the call of the day. And I hope that you will choose to put your happiness first and your marriage first simply by showing up here. I mean, this could be the catalyst that really does change your life. So let me tell you a little bit about our expert. Maggie is a life coach, writer, and the founder of ModernMarried.com. She empowers her readers to achieve authentic success in romance, relationships, life, and work. Maggie is known for her sassy yet practical advice and has been featured on Focus on the Family Canada, Military Spouse Magazine, and the nationally syndicated radio show Daybreak USA. And she does all of this from ModernMarried.com. So, Maggie, are you out there? Welcome to the call.
Hello. I am delighted to be on this call. I love talking to women who are passionate about their marriages, and I can feel your passion. It's awesome.
That is excellent. We are more than pleased to have you here because I know you do share in that passion, and I'm gonna dive right into the juicy stuff right away. So, Maggie, tell me, really, why? Why does having a hot marriage, a happy marriage, really matter? I mean, what can that actually do for your life, for your health? Why is it worth it?
I love that question because I am a very hippy-dippy girl and I love all the sort of soulful advice, but I also love to go back into research and look at science and look at what science has taught us and actually worked for people. And over the years, studies have shown that people who are married live longer, they acquire more wealth, so they have more conditions for prosperity and health, because as you have more wealth, you have more access to health care. All these things kind of go together. So live longer, better health, more wealth, overall married people than single people. And a really interesting thing research has uncovered is that, as you mentioned in your intro, good marriages are really good for you, but bad marriages are really bad for you. So what you can do listening to all the calls on the summit to reduce your marital stress, to reduce your conflict, to get those golden nuggets and those little tools that can help you every day, these little tiny shifts that you can have, that's really going to help you in your marriage and in your life.
Mm-hmm. You know, you brought up such huge points, and I really like that you really emphasize that a good marriage is really good for you, and a bad marriage is really bad for you. And I think, you know, that is something that we just take for granted as we live in mediocre marriages that are just okay. Because what's going to come out then, the result is, as you're saying, your health will be just okay. Your wealth will be just okay. So across the board, emphasizing that it's the good marriage and learning how to get there will better the rest of your life scientifically, not just esoterically, but
right.
scientifically.
Exactly.
Very good point.
That's so important, and also to just think about just okay. I mean, no, if you're listening to this and you're just okay, there are really simple things you're going to learn on this call and the rest of the calls of the summit that are going to help you go from just okay, step by step, to a little better, to a little better, and eventually to be awesome. And you can start that path right now just listening to this.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Good point. Okay, so then let's start taking those little steps with everybody here. And you are incredible at debunking the myths. And
yes.
I love the myths because they amuse me to no end, really.
Yes.
Now, there's three that I think we're going to try to talk about, but the first one that I think is fantastic is the myth that mm-hmm. says, I love that marriage magically changes people for the better. I mean, you say I do, and poof, it's exactly going to be as perfect as it was that day. Is that
yeah.
true?
Absolutely not. And this idea, these myths, these stories that we grow up believing and that are not true and that set up our expectations for disappointment is one of my favorite things to debunk with people, as you mentioned.
Mm.
So we grow up watching movies and seeing shows on TV and all that, you know, fun, the unreality of reality TV, which we know is not really true, but we believe it, right? And we think, oh, when I get married, he's going to stop doing those things that are really bad for him and that he shouldn't be doing, or those things that hurt my feelings every time he does them. Marriage is not going to change a person's behavior. The person at the altar is the person you're going to see in the morning brushing his teeth in the bathroom. You know, it's going to just be more of that on the contrary. So if we could lose that myth, if we could say this person, how he is right now today, can I accept this person as they are? Can I embrace and love this person and not expect them to change? If the answer is no, you're just setting yourself up for disappointment.
That is true, because, you know, I often hear, well, I thought we'd work it out after we were married because we made a commitment.
Right.
But was he aware that you made a commitment to work that out?
And it's great to make a commitment. Making a commitment is a wonderful thing, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's to your health, whether it's a personal commitment to yourself to continue to grow as a person. So the commitment part is awesome. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of times when people have in their mind what they think is going to happen and they don't use their words to share what they think is going to happen. And that kind of maybe might be a bonus myth, which is we already know how to communicate. We don't need to practice. You know, we don't need to learn tools. We don't need to, take steps and break things down to the microscopic truth. Gay Hendricks, a great author, calls it the microscopic truth. The little things are usually the ones that hurt us the most. So when we take that time to break down that communication, that's when you get to manage each other's expectations and you get to really not experience that depth of disappointment or pain or hurt because your expectations are both on the same page.
Right, and I love what you said about we create this image in our mind, because I think that if you've got this image in your mind, you're thinking, well, we'll work on that later, you're really marrying the mental image that you've created that it will be in your mind as opposed to the person that's standing in front of you.
Yeah.
And that sometimes can take several years and several children later to realize that, okay, he's not turning into the mental image I decided he would be or she would be in my mind.
The closer your mental image is to reality, the hotter and happier your marriage, Carmen. I think that's the bottom line. So what we want to do is okay, we have this mental image. I'm going to take a moment, you know, and say, does this match with what I experience every day? If it doesn't, can I live with what I experience every day? Is this gonna be something I can accept? And I'm a big, big fan of the 80% rule. You know, Dr. Phil, who's, you know, so irreverent and delightful, says take 80%. The women who stop and wait for 100% are going to be alone for a long, long time because no one is 100%. So if you have a relationship with someone and they have 80% of the things that you value, that you hold dear, that are your deepest intentions and the things that you really just feel so strongly about, if you can match on those things, the other 20% you can work out listening to calls like this one.
Exactly. And I do want to make something clear on this, that we're not saying here, and you're not suggesting here, that there isn't room for growth and for compromisable change that betters both of you. I mean, you're not saying, we're not saying, you know, that's the person you married, therefore lie in the bed because you make it. People change, people grow, but you, like you said, if you learn the tools to communicate and you talk about the mental image of what you're both expecting, you can grow together into what you want.
Absolutely.
And that creates harmony.
Absolutely. I totally agree with what you said. It's not about saying, you know, just accept this person and this person will never change. It's just really saying, I accept you as you are today and embracing what is real today. And tomorrow we'll do this all over again and we'll embrace each other with what is real and true for us tomorrow.
You know what, and I think people have a hard time sometimes looking at what is real and true. Like you said, there's a big distinction between what is real and true right now and what is real and true that you think is going on in your head. And when you can make the distinction between the two but commit to growing together for life, that's when you set yourself up for success. And I think that we need to make clear, too, that no matter where you are in your marriage right now, I mean, anybody who's listening to these calls right now, no matter where you are, you can come back to that space of real and true and then grow from there. Is that kind of what I'm hearing you say, Maggie?
Absolutely. And you know what? No matter where you are in your marriage right now, you can come to that moment of remembering why you fell in love in the first place, why you took those vows in the first place. What is it about that person that you just love and think is so beautiful? And when you, in this moment right now, think one of the things, one of the many, I'm sure there's 100 things if we were to make a list, one thing that you love about your spouse, that moment that you shift to the energy of love, you can then look at whatever challenges you're facing from that lens of love and say, okay, we're going to work this out. We have a lot of reasons to work this out. Let's see what we can do about this.
From that lens of love, I love that you just said that, because that is a decision. I mean, that's a decision we make every day. You can look at your life through that lens of love, or you can look at it through that foggy, I'm angry, you've really just pissed me off and annoyed me again lens. And, I mean, your marriage will depict which lens you're looking through.
Absolutely.
So I think it's really, that's so important that you said that.
Absolutely. And the idea to bring that lens of love instead of that nagging or what you said, you know, you pissed me off again. You know, one of the things that I write about on my blog and that I teach is to make requests, not complaints. Requests, you have a lot of control over a request. I would like it if we went to dinner on Saturday. Can we do that? That's a request. You never take me out to dinner is a complaint. Nothing happens at the end of a complaint. There is no shift in an action. There is no shift in an energy. Nothing improves at the end of a complaint. At the end of a request, you get an answer. It's either going to be a yes or a no. If it's a no, that's okay. You can make a different request. You can say, well, I know we can't go out on Saturday. Maybe we can have lunch together on Tuesday when you're in the neighborhood. Why don't we do that instead? You always have the opportunity for a different outcome when you're making a request, which you never get when you're making a complaint.
That's beautiful. Can you see the light bulb that just went over some people's heads right now? I love when we have light bulb moments, and that was one of them.
I love it too. I call them popcorn moments. It's like pop, pop, pop.
Perfect. Either way, that is fantastic. And, you know, this kind of brings us into that next myth, and I work a lot of this in my work, and this is my favorite one, that he loves me. This is the myth. He loves me so much, he should just know what I want without me saying anything.
I
deal with this one all the time.
That gets us into so much trouble. Okay, one of the things my husband and I do, and we kind of joke about it because obviously I'm a life coach and I write about this stuff, so we have fun with it at my house, but we turn around to each other and we say, use your words. It worked in kindergarten. It works now. Use your words. What do you want? Use your words. So this is the thing. We make up these stories in our minds that we equate mind reading, which is a skill that I don't think many people have mastered in this universe, with love, okay? And we decide that love and mind reading are equal, and that if mind reading is not happening, then love is not occurring. And I am here to tell you right now that this man could love you with every fiber of his being. His ability to calculate an algorithm or his ability to jump high on an Olympic event has nothing to do with his amount of love that he has for you. So it's the same with mind reading. His qualities of mind reading are absolutely irrelevant to how much love he has in his heart for you. If you learn one thing today, this isn't even the golden nugget, but if you learn one thing today and you learn this, you will just save yourself from so much strife. And just tell him, talk to him, ask him for what you want, or, you know, whatever it is that's going on in your mind.
Well, and I think, you know, for everyone who's listening out here, it's really about just taking responsibility, and I love how you put it, to use your words.
Yes.
It is your responsibility to request
yes.
what it is you want, as opposed to complain about what it is that you need.
Absolutely.
Am I putting this together right?
Absolutely, Carmen. You're totally hitting the nail on the head, so to speak. Absolutely.
You know, I love that, and it takes me back to a moment I know in my own marriage where, I mean, it is, and I'm sure everyone's gone through this. You've come home, you're exhausted, you're tired, and you've got a carload of groceries, and I know that I have walked in the door with armfuls of groceries and the mail and everything else, and I'm immediately annoyed. Because why hasn't somebody run out to get the rest of the groceries?
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, I am annoyed. But did I take into account for 3 seconds that I could open my mouth and say, honey, I have a lot more groceries. Would you mind helping me? As opposed to assuming that he knew what was going on in my head. He knew how tired I was. He knew that the car had more groceries in it.
And
but that's where you learn and grow.
I love this example, Carmen, because you know what? We don't know what's on his mind. He could have gotten a bad client at work. His boss could have come in with a project that's suddenly due, you know, tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. before a board meeting. We don't know what's going through his mind. So you come in with your story of, oh, you know, he should automatically know he should do this. We don't know if he's worried about, you know, paying the mortgage, you know, especially in this economy, in this era that we're living in. We don't know what's in his mind, right? So
exactly.
Let's give each other a little latitude. Let's just say, I love this phrase. I don't remember where I heard it, but I loved it. Assume love. Assume that whatever's going through his mind, he is full of love for you, and if you ask him to help you, and maybe he can't that day. Maybe he's like, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I got to do this report. You know, he has this other thing going on. You know,
yeah.
It has no bearing on his affection and how much you mean to him. It's just this other thing that's you know, heavy in his heart at that moment.
Exactly. Assume love. Now, that's a powerful little phrase there.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. That's a good
I wrote that down. I hope everybody else wrote that down.
I love it. You know what I wrote down? I wrote down when Carmen said, a bad marriage is a waste of a good life. That was my light bulb right at the beginning of the podcast.
That was your popcorn?
Yeah, that was my popcorn right there.
Awesome. Okay, so Maggie, how do we rewrite the fairy tale? If we're in a
okay.
position where it's like,
yeah.
you know what, it's not what it used to be, how do we rewrite that?
Okay, so I believe we're all the stars of our own fairy tales. You know, we're all our own, you know, queens and duchesses and princesses and whatever royalty we want to be. And I believe that writing your own fairy tale, writing your own love story, you can really boil it down to a few very, very simple steps. And we're going to go through those right now. First, define what success looks like to you. What is a happy marriage to you? Maybe a happy marriage to Carmen is my husband always helps me with the groceries. Maybe a happy marriage to me is my husband always takes me on a date on Saturday. You know, my definition of my successful marriage might not look anything at all like yours. So what we need to do is first of all, know for ourselves, because we're only going to be able to recognize that it's working if we have defined what it's going to look like when it's working. We do this unconsciously already in so many areas of our life. Anyone in the corporate world knows we have goals, we have charts, we have X amount of sales, we have, you know, when this milestone is reached, that is success. And then in our personal lives, we ignore all of that, and we're just like humming along, I'm just okay, every day. So define success. That's the first step in rewriting your own fairy tale. Are you with me?
I love it.
Okay, good. Okay, you ready for step number two?
Ready.
Okay. Once you define success, you know, what it is about the groceries. I love that example because everyone can relate to that. You know, and even, you
right.
know, when guys go to Home Depot and bring back stuff for the house or whatever, they're like, oh, I wish, you know, somebody would help me bring in the lumber or whatever. You know, we can all relate to that example. So what you will discover when you make this definition of what success looks like is that what you're really after at the core is a feeling. It's the feeling that this story will give you. So if my story is I like to go out on dates, it's I like to spend time with my husband, I like to spend time alone together. What happens when we're alone together? I feel loved, I feel appreciated, I feel wanted, I feel needed. It's a feeling. This idea with the groceries, what happens when my husband helps me with the groceries? I feel helped, I feel nurtured, I feel supported. So what you're really after is the feeling of nurturance, the feeling of being supported. When you can identify that that's the feeling that you want, how do I want to feel? I want to feel nurtured today. You can immediately ask yourself, what can I do today, right now, to feel closer to that feeling? And I say it very important to say to feel closer to that feeling because everyone is in different states of their relationships. And if you think of relationships and feelings on a spectrum, you know, maybe your relationship is thriving. Maybe someone else listening to this is going through a tough time. They're not suddenly going to feel nurtured if they've been arguing all week. You know, that's not going to happen from one moment to the next. But they can get closer to that feeling by making a request instead of a complaint. Suddenly it wasn't an argument. It was a yes or a no. And then they moved on to something else. And at least that day, okay, we're not planning a second honeymoon, but we didn't argue today. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going a little closer to that feeling. That's step two, is identifying the feeling that your story, your fairy tale, the things that you value, what that's going to make you feel. Okay, that was step two. Are we clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that's very clear. I think you're being very clear. Good examples.
Okay, super. Ready for step three?
Yes.
Okay, step three is kind of like a double step. We'll go back to it during the golden nugget because it's actually part of the golden nugget. But it's expressing appreciation. So when you express appreciation for anything, it's like looking through the lens of love. Looking through the lens of love or the lens of gratitude is automatically going to shift the cells in your body. It's going to shift your energy, the energy you're putting out to other people, that energy you're putting out to yourself. So anything you want to create more of, say thank you. So if you want to create more of your husband helping you with the groceries, when he helps you with the groceries, don't just then go and start putting stuff away and kind of ignore him, which we do sometimes too. You know, say thank you, hon. That was awesome. I really appreciated that you helped me with that. Again, back to using your words, right?
Mm-hmm.
So number three is expressing appreciation, and we'll go back to that when we get to the nugget because I have more to say. Number four. One of my absolute favorite things to do, and this number four is for your marriage and for anything that you want in life, prepare the way, which means start doing things in your material, physical experience to prepare the way for how you want your marriage to be. So let's give that example. Let's give that example, you know, the couple that's been fighting all week and maybe they're not dating, they're not going out, they're not spending time together. What could you do right now to prepare the way? It could be something as simple as buying a box of spaghetti in the grocery store because that's his favorite, and you're going to make his favorite meal. Because if you're not fighting anymore, you're enjoying a meal together. So it doesn't have to be this complicated thing. You know, people kind of get bogged down. Oh, I have to do 54 things. No. Prepare the way today. Buy a chocolate, you know, if you have your favorite chocolates that he used to buy you when you were dating, go out and buy it. Go out and buy it now. And start preparing the way for how you would like it to be. Just taking a little action in your physical world, not just thinking about it or, you know, I love journaling and writing and things like that, and I do a lot of writing exercises, which are great. But doing a little thing in your physical world will start that energy shift that starts bringing those conditions to you. And that's maybe it's the law of attraction. You know, I don't know if it's been proven scientifically or not, but I know every time I've done it, I've gotten a result. So I invite you to experiment with that and see where that leads, because everyone that I've ever worked with that has done that has gotten positive results out of preparing the way.
Well, and what's the harm?
Expect
something good coming out of it.
Exactly.
All will go well if you go into it with that intention.
Exactly. Oh, all will go well if you go into it with that intention. Light bulb, popcorn, love it.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Look at us. We're just electrifying things here.
I love it. Okay, number five. This is the fifth step in the rewriting of our modern-day fairy tale. Okay, letting go. Letting go is one of the most important things you can do, and you can do it on many, many levels. So first of all, is there clutter in your home? Look at your bedroom. Look at the place which is the cocoon of love, you know, for your relationship. Do you have books, newspapers, magazines, who knows what in there? Make it a space that feels like love lives there. What do you need to let go of to make space for more love? So it could be physical clutter. It could be all those expectations that we have that we need to just let go. And every time we have an expectation and we're disappointed, we can make a request, we can have a conversation, or we can just say, you know what, he is who he is. I don't even have to talk to him about it. I just accept this in this moment right now.
Mm-hmm.
Letting go of whatever doesn't feel good, something that's causing you pain right now, then that opens the space for more love to be in your relationship. And if you're listening to us right now and you can't think of anything you want to let go of, I challenge you to let go of complaining of any kind about your partner, mm-hmm. about yourself, because, you know, we're the hardest on ourselves, our own inner voice. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have said this. I shouldn't have said that. You know, we all do that, right? So I challenge you to let go of any kind of complaining at work, about your boss, about your deadlines, about your commute, about the person who cut you off in traffic. We all have these little triggers. Even the most peaceful and harmonious of us all have that little trigger. If you just let go of one thing and you let go of complaining, you will have all this space for love to grow.
That is incredibly, I mean, you've given several golden nuggets there just alone.
Yeah.
But I hope people were making notes.
I hope so, too.
Was.
I'm so glad to hear that. I'm so glad to hear that.
I certainly was.
So.
Okay. So we're way past our 10-minute mark here, but I could not stop us. That was just way too good. So tell us, what is the one kind of your big golden nugget, the one thing
the
that
big
someone
golden
can really
nugget.
Do tonight?
Okay. Tonight. Start with thank you. Start saying thank you for the smallest, most minute thing. Start with thank you, okay? And I'm going to give you a story, and I hope you have time for it. It'll probably take 2 minutes. But it's my favorite story. It's something that happened to me before I became a life coach, before I started studying all these things. It's one of the reasons that I do what I do today. Is one of my closest, dearest, most beloved friends was kind of having one of those I'm so annoyed with my husband days, you know. And we were talking on the phone, and I said to her, you know, when was the last time you thanked him, you know, for anything? And she said, well, I shouldn't have to thank him. He should just do these things, you know. And I think it was about taking out the garbage or, you know, one of those kind of things. And I was like, okay, just for me, just say thank you, just today. And it was like World War III to get her to agree, you know, to say thank you. And I was like, okay, just based on our friendship, trust me, you know. So we had this whole, you know, negotiation, like the UN or something. She said, okay, fine. I'll find something to thank him for, you know, okay. And she was just so, you know, like very reluctant to try this. And we talked, and then a couple weeks later she calls me and she says, you're never going to believe what just happened. And I was like, well, what happened? Well, my husband was on his way home from work and he stopped at Starbucks and got me my favorite latte something concoction thing. She's like, he hasn't done that since we were dating. And I turned to her, and I was like, I was on the phone listening to her story. I'm like, well, why did he do that? And she said, well, I started thanking him every day for something. And then a couple days I thanked him for more than one thing, and then he was like in a really good mood. And now I thank him all the time, and he wants to do nice things for me. And I was like, I love you.
Well, for any of you out there who just scoffed at her saying, say thank you tonight. Right. There you go. Proof is in the pudding.
Yes.
Create your own pudding with that. That is awesome. That is a great story. Now, Maggie, I know you do have something for all the listeners out there. So if you want to let them know about your free gift at this time, that'd be great.
Absolutely. So what we did, you know, we covered a lot of ground today and a lot of really kind of deep topics. So I am a reader. I like to have it all written down. So I have all the resources, the research that I did for the quotes of the statistics and all that kind of fun stuff and the truths and the myths and the actual recipe that we reviewed on how to write your own fairy tale. We have that at modernmarried.com/truth because it's the truth that will set you free, right? So it's there for all of our listeners. They can just go download it. There's no sign up. There's no, you know, special thing you have to do. You just go there and you'll see the page and you just click on it. And all that will be on there. And then if you come over to Modern Married, you'll see a bunch of blog posts and all the different fun adventure stuff that I write about. And I'd love to see you there and say hello if you do stop by.
That's excellent. That's very generous of you. And for anyone who didn't have a pen or missed that, I will make sure you get that through email so you can take full advantage of Maggie's work and that very generous free gift. Now, just before I leave you or you leave me, I want to be sure that everybody is ready for tomorrow. So I've said it 100 times, but I'm going to say it again because we are here taking a stand for your marriage. At 6:30 a.m. and at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, you'll receive an email in your inbox with the next interviews. Now, this gives you an opportunity for everybody on that West Coast, get up, shower, get a great morning coffee, listen to the morning interview while you get ready. Do this to set your day off right. And I'm going to highly suggest that you do listen to it in the morning. If you're on the East Coast, then, you know, set some time in your calendar that at lunch or a little later in the day, instead of socializing, you make this a priority and listen to the experts. And then easily enough, all of you can end that day of yours on the perfect note with a 6:30 p.m. call. Besides, you never know how that night call might spice up your nightlife. So at this point, Maggie, thank you. Heartfelt thank you. You shared incredible work with us today. I am so appreciative. Couldn't be more grateful to you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for such a wonderful, passionate view of marriage. And I'm just delighted. This is something that obviously is close to my heart as well. Thank you for this opportunity. And to all our listeners, thank you for spending time with us today.
That's right. Thank you. And I do. I look forward to meeting with you all here again tomorrow, 6:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m., because, well, imagine if you had true happiness and peace and passion in your marriage, how would that impact your life? You know, and that is what I am intending for you. As that reality you're wishing for, it's not only possible, but probable, thanks to the priceless tools and wisdom that are just being handed to you here today. So thank you for tuning in. This is Carmen Smith. Live a hot and happy day, everybody.